All right. Well, I'm going to just turn to the Word, and let's let the Lord speak to our hearts this morning what He wants to speak. Okay, we're going to look first at Luke chapter 2, okay? So Luke chapter 2, and I want you this morning to pay attention, okay? Well, I mean, normally I would want you to pay attention anyway, but listen and look for something really specific. I want you to listen and look for joy, all right? Listen and look. Get your ears up. Be attentive. There's joy. There is joy. There is joy to find this morning. So be ready. Be ready. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 10, where the angel comes to the shepherds in the field. Okay, we know this story very well. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger.'" Let's pray. Lord God, I pray this morning that, Lord God, we will see, hear, and know joy. Lord, show us joy, what it is, how we're to have it, and Lord God, may it come alive in us, full and overflowing. Let your word go forth, and let it bring forth life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you could think about you and your life and how you are, would you consider yourself a joyful person? I mean, you don't have to answer out loud, right? But you know if you consider yourself a joyful person, whatever that might even mean to you. Now, I'm sure there may be some difficulties, for instance, like how do we measure it? How do you measure joy? It's not necessarily something that you can just take a measuring cup out and dip it into a vat of joy and you can measure it out. That's kind of a little bit mysterious. But you do know if you're a joyful person or you're just presently happy, you know, you're happy or joyful. We're going to talk about that. Or you probably know, or maybe the question is, do you know? Do you know if you're lacking? If you're lacking joy, or you're lacking happiness, are you aware? Are you aware of what's on the inside of you? And are you aware of the difference between these two things, like joy and happiness? Because we're going to talk about that. So we're going to talk about these things, and we want to give definition this morning. First of all, is joy. I want to talk about joy. The Greek word for joy is chara, okay? And it has the meaning of, as you would expect, inner delight and gladness. So there's an inward thing that's going on. So, you know, how do we measure? It's hard to know we measure joy and happiness and all these things, but it was something that we do feel on the inside. If you're joyful or you have chara, then your heart is full of gladness. John Piper, he is a pastor, a Baptist pastor in Minnesota, also has been a chancellor of a school there. And as he read through the writings of Paul, he came up with a definition of joy. He came up with a definition that he thought really fit well scripturally. And he said it this way. He just simply said, "Joy is a good feeling in my soul that is produced by the Holy Spirit." So joy is a good feeling in my soul that is produced by the Holy Spirit. And it is Christ who is the center of this joy. So he goes on, and I'm paraphrasing that part. It is Christ who is the center of that joy that he speaks of. So there is a good feeling down in my soul when I have joy. There's a good feeling that emanates from my soul that comes from the Spirit of God that God has put in me. He has placed in me, and he's deposited and placed in you. So I know this God, I know this Spirit, because it is in me. So I know the one who has conquered death. I know the one who has given salvation for my soul. I know the one who I have, for all eternity, trusted myself into his hands. And you've trusted yourself into his hands. I know the one who has set my feet upon the rock and will not fail and has not failed and will never fail me. I know him, and in knowing him, there's joy. Joy emanates from the Spirit of God in me, into my soul, to find expression in my body and become fully embodied within me. So joy is not just some abstract something out there that is kind of hard to grasp and to hold on to. I mean, yes, we feel it. This is how we know. We sense in our senses. But that's just letting us know that it's present with us. And it comes from the one who has saved our soul. So here's the thing. Joy is for us. Each of us. We can have joy. We can know joy. This joy that emanates from the Spirit of God. And we would never willingly want to suppress joy, right? Would you want to suppress joy? Would you want to cut off joy out of your lives? So why? Now, why would we ever suppress joy? I don't believe we do. I don't believe we intentionally do. But sometimes we do by default. What do I mean? I mean that in our natural humanity, it is all too easy to default to something else that's not joy, but it's something we call happiness. We've all probably experienced, I'm sure we have, we've experienced happiness in our life. Each of us have something. Maybe it was just the time when you were 5 years old and you went to the Christmas tree and you got that present and it was the exact thing that you wanted. You were happy. You were so, so happy. You may have been even jumping with happiness. Now, happiness is really quite a similar feeling as joy. It's that inward feeling that we get. It's excitement. It's gladness. It's something that we feel on the inside. It's delight. But where does it come from? Where does it come from? See, happiness comes from happenings. Happiness comes from happenings, things that happen. Things that happen to you and things that happen to me. Some things we can control or somewhat control, or we think we can control, and some we can't. Some happenings we just can't control at all. But all these things are external to us. They're outside of us. Life circumstances that are good and life circumstances that are bad, events of life that are wonderful, and events of life that are difficult and hard. You get the new job, or maybe you get fired from your job. You get married, or the one you thought you loved is leaving you. You've got money in the bank, lots and lots of money. Or today the bank is foreclosing on you and you're losing your home. Happenings happen. Circumstances take place. We don't always control them. We can't always make things happen the way we want them to happen. We'd like to. Wouldn't that be a perfect life? Wouldn't that be, what's the movie title, The Beautiful Life? If we could just control all the happenings in our life, we could control our happiness. We can control what's going on the inside of us because we can control everything in life. Wouldn't that be just perfect? Wouldn't that be just awesome? I think sometimes, idealistically, that's what we even grew up thinking. That's the way we thought. If I could just control, if I could just make this happen and make that happen, if I could just work hard enough, if I love people, they'll love me. If I do this for somebody, they'll do this for me. We've probably spent a lot of times in life trying to control our happiness, really. We've tried to spend a lot of time in life trying to do things and work at it and try to control things. But it's pretty disappointing when it doesn't work out. It's pretty hard when things don't go the way we'd like for them to go. There are happenings in our lives that are good and bad, but they're external. And external things can produce happiness, or they can produce great sadness in our life as well. Now, on a lighter note, yesterday, my favorite football team played and lost. And they didn't look good. They looked bad. They didn't even look like they were that competitive, because any chance of coming back, not a chance. The score just getting worse and worse and worse as the game went along. And for the last 3 weeks, they've lost. And for the last 3 weeks, they've looked bad. You can ask me this morning if I'm happy, and I'm going to tell you, no, I'm not. I'm not happy. Because when it comes to football, I don't have football happiness. I have football depression today. But that's the way things go. Your team wins, your team loses. But if my internal livelihood, if what's going on inside of me depends on that, I'm in trouble. They better get it right. I mean, you know people who get so angry in life because those people aren't getting it right. Because what they're saying when they're really angry and they're pointing the finger at those people who aren't getting it right, who aren't running that team right, who aren't running that corporation right, who aren't doing this right and doing that, what they're saying is, my happiness depends on them and they're messing it up. That's what they're saying. That's why I'm angry. Because they're messing up my happiness. If they would do their job right, if they would do life right, if they would win some games, if they would play right and stop dropping the ball, then I will be happy. And I'll have that nice inner feeling that I want to have. But honestly, it's just their fault. All those people who don't do right. And that's what life can start looking like for a lot of people. And that's where a lot of angry people come from, pointing their fingers out there at all those people who aren't giving them happiness. Do you want to live life that way? I've seen some angry people in life. I've seen some angry people. They weren't happy, and it was somebody else's fault. Well, we can have ups and downs. Ups and downs. And thank goodness that yesterday I had joy. Football team lost, but I had joy. Because I spent time with the one who gives me joy. I spent time with him. Did you spend time with him? It makes all the difference in the world. Scripture tells us that life, true life, should not flow from our external world. I mean, yes, we'll have some happiness from things that happen in the world. We'll also have sadness. That will take place too. We'll have that as well. But may we have joy. May we have joy. See, for those who know Jesus personally as our Lord and Savior, you know, things will come and go. We'll have our successes. We'll have our failures. People will disappoint us. It will happen. You will disappoint others. That will happen. That does happen. You know, we'll even suffer because of others and their decisions in life. You know, happiness is great and sadness is hard, yet it all comes from external things and circumstances. You know, I like to be happy. You like to be happy. We all like to be happy. But one thing I need that is non-negotiable is I need joy. I need joy. Can't always control the happiness, but I can have joy. You know, good feelings from external happenings, that's not joy. That will come and go. But through everything in life, joy is available to us. Absolutely available to us. This means that today you can have joy. Even when life's not going well, even if you're facing some things that you're like, that's a mountain I can't climb, God. I don't know how I'm going to overcome that. You don't know. You don't have to know how you're going to overcome, but you can know the one who did overcome. Amen. And that makes all the difference in your joy. Many years ago in the 19th century, a man named Horatio Spafford wrote a well-known song that I think each of us and every one of us has probably sang in this room. If not, look it up online, put it on your Spotify or whatever, and just sing it. It is well with my soul. Remember the song? It is well with my soul. Do you know that Horatio Spafford endured a season of loss beyond what many of us ever will? He went through some very sad days in his life. He was a wealthy businessman in Chicago, but his real estate dealings and his business all went up in a great fire that Chicago had on their shoreline that swept through the city. All his holdings were burnt up. To go from a wealthy businessman to poor overnight. And then not too long after that, his family was crossing over to go to Great Britain on a great big ship. And along the way, another ship in the Atlantic crossed over it and collided, and it sank. And in the sinking, and it sank fast, it didn't last long, and they were in the waters, and only his wife survived. All four girls, little girls, died and perished in the waters. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the great suffering, the great tragedy? Horatio Spafford, he was a committed, godly man. He actually worked with D.L. Moody in some of his evangelistic crusades and helped him and supported him. And it was actually Moody that came to England when he met his wife there to comfort him as he was doing ministry there at the time. But he pins these words to this famous song. And we wonder, how is he able to do it? Because it was sometime after that. Because Dwight Moody actually asked him when he got to Great Britain. He says, "How are you, brother?" And he said, "It is well. It is well with my soul." And those words, that he said that to Dwight Moody, he later, sometime later, writes the lyrics of this song, "It is well with my soul." And you wonder, how is he able to do that? Because he knew something that was beyond just the circumstances of his life, which truly brought grief and mourning. And he should rightly mourn his losses as we should rightly mourn our losses. But it was possible for him to feel a comfort in his soul and a knowledge that he was not alone, he was not forsaken, and that he still had joy because he still had Christ. Christ in him gave him hope and an inner peace. It did not come from external things because that was not possible. But it came from God. And we have what Horatio Spafford had when he wrote that song. We have the one who provides peace, love, mercy, joy. We have the one. And it doesn't come from external things. It comes by the Spirit of God. 1 John 1:2-4 says that we have a fellowship with God that is rich. It is wonderful. It's a wonderful fellowship that is offered to each and every one of us. 1 John 1, starting with verse 2, it says, am I right there? Let me just read it. Yes, okay. It says, "The life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." Our joy complete. John is speaking to the church. He's saying, this fellowship we have, this that we've shared with you, we're talking about the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you have eternity with him and that you know him for all time. It says, "The one who is life itself was revealed to us, He's been revealed to us. And he's ours because we have come to know him as Lord and Savior. And our fellowship is with him. We are to share in this joy. We're to share in this wonderful, beautiful fellowship with God, with the Holy Spirit in us, dwelling within us. And it's something we can know daily. Daily. So who can have this joy? Who can have it? It's available to all. All who would know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. All who would receive the Holy Spirit. It's available. It's available to each and every one of us. God makes joy available. This is something we all can experience. And the thing is Christ doesn't come and go. He is forever. He is forever. He is not up one day and down the next. Jesus is not happy one day and mad the next. He's life itself. He's forever. He's the Lord of life, and he's available to me. He's available to you every day. So our joy can be complete. And if we think about it, the poor person who makes, in this world, who makes $2 a day can be just as joyful as you and I. In fact, they might even be more joyful if they're finding their true joy in Christ. Because that $2 a day is not dependent upon their joy. That doesn't cause them to say, I have more joy. Because if that was the case, then the richest man in the world would be the most joyful man in the world. But we know that's not true. Even the most poor among us and in this world can have amazing joy in the Lord. You know, really, when we think about the coming of Jesus, there's such a simplicity to his coming. Right? There's such a simplicity. You know, when we look at this picture, and maybe if you came to take communion, you were looking at this picture. I don't know if you took an opportunity, but it's the manger, it's the nativity, it's Mary and Joseph all surrounding Jesus with the shepherds and the animals, and it's like there's even some little children peeking their head over there. And then on the way, there's the wise men in the background who are on the way on their camels. There's such a simplicity to the Christmas story, to how Jesus came into this world. He did not come a rich man. He did not come to the penthouse or the town home. He came when there was no room. There was no room for him. And so he was in the lowly manger on hay. We see because to relate to Jesus, we have to be able to relate to that. Some people can't relate to baby Jesus and would not find themselves in the manger because in the manger, it doesn't smell good. It smells bad. Those shepherds, they haven't had a bath in a long, long time. And there's no heat. No, there's no central heat. There's no air conditioning or whatever would be needed. There were certainly some bugs. And mosquitoes, who knows what kind of bugs they have there in Bethlehem? I don't know, but they're there. You know, we can sometimes get a beautiful picture of what took place. But it was very simple. Because it was for the lowliest of people to the richest of people. But what matters is that we all have to come. We all have to come to him. We all have to seek him. We all have to find him. And it's not going to be in the penthouse or the town home. It's going to be sometimes in very humble circumstances where at least we are humble in our own heart to receive a Savior because we say, Jesus, I need a Savior. I need you. It goes back to the song, I need you now. And just because we're saved and going to heaven doesn't mean you don't need him. No, I need him as much today as I've ever needed him. I don't know about you. I need him as much today as I've ever needed him. And I'm going to need him tomorrow. And it's not because I have money in my bank account or I don't have money in my bank account. That has nothing to do with it. My soul needs Jesus. I need him. We all do. In this picture, one thing I do see is, and it makes sense, is Jesus is in the center. He's in the center. All eyes are on him. That's why they're there. They're there because of Jesus. And I hope for us and each one of us, as we come and we are even coming to the season, Advent and Christmas, that we too will make sure that Jesus is in the center. You know, it's really not right if Jesus was somewhere outside in the dark alone. And that somehow, maybe then the wise men show up with the frankincense and myrrh and gold. And then somehow that becomes in the center. Because, you know, sometimes we do that. We do that in our own lives. When the gifts show up, when the riches and the abundance and the blessings take place, sometimes we start putting that in the center. And it takes the place of Jesus. And Jesus gets lost somewhere out in the periphery. Don't let that happen. Don't lose Jesus because the gifts that that are brought to him, that honor him, and the gifts that he gives us, they're so good and they're so wonderful. But we always must remember him. He's the one. He is the one who's the giver of gifts. He is our source. Well, to make sure that he is the center, there's just times where we honestly must humble ourselves and say, Lord God, what am I living for? What's really in the center of my life? What is the source in which it's in the middle, like I'm hoping for, my hope is in, my trust is in, all these things. You know, what does it really look like in my life? I mean, can you imagine being rich beyond comparison? Well, maybe you can. I don't know. But like millions and millions and millions. I mean, all the money you could ever want and ever need. You're rich. But somewhere along the line, you lost your access code. You lost your PIN. And there's a whole lot of money sitting out there, but you have no access to it. So at that point, you're a rich person who's going to live poor. Because you don't access the riches that you have. And so the way you'll live life is you will live poor because while you're rich, you're actually poor. The whole point of that is saying there are many, many Christians today who have the riches of heaven all available to them. They have the King of Glory. A relationship with the King of Glory, and yet all the wealth of heaven, all Christ living in us, the Holy Spirit in us, yet not accessing it. Not knowing that daily bread, not knowing what it is to have the goodness of God and connecting with God by our spirits in a walk, in a daily relationship, and a disconnect takes place. And when that disconnect takes place in Christians, we become like the world. We become poor when it comes to joy. We become poor, and we live our lives that way. If we disconnect from our relationship with God and we start trusting in our happenings and the things in life to make us happy, and our life will be up, it'll be down, up and down. But that's not the way God wants us to live life. We need to take inventory at times and say, Lord, what am I living for? What's in the center of my life? Am I living for certain happiness? Am I living for certain riches of this world, and that's where I'm getting my inner supply? We know, we've all lived life long enough to know that outward happiness can easily fail us. It can easily fail us. All the riches of this world cannot give us joy. Cannot give us joy. We must know Jesus by the Spirit he has placed in us. It goes back to the source. Where we go to our source. If we make anything other than Jesus our source, we're living in happiness. We're living for happiness. We're living for external things. If we make anything other than Jesus the source, where our joy is coming from, you know, our soul wants to be happy, but God did not promise us happiness all the time. God does want to bless us, by the way. He wants to bless us. And those things will bring happiness, but we always know our source, our unending source, is Him. He's the living water that we need. Our soul needs to connect with the Spirit of God and let the river, the living water, run and feed us and nourish us and replenish us and renew us. We need Him. We need the Spirit of God in us. We must connect to the Spirit of God. There's a big difference because a lot of times our soul, if it's out there and it's connecting to the world, I need this. I need more money. I need a better job. I need a person. I need a person in my life that will bring happiness to me. I need whatever it is, but it's external. And we're looking. And our eyes are searching. But we're missing Jesus. That's where disconnects happen in the Christian walk. And we start living for happiness and not joy. We must be careful. We must take inventory. We must look, what source am I looking for? Things will fail us. Things in this life will fail us. God will not fail us. He is everlasting and ever sure. So what do we pursue in our life? And we have to be careful, because if we pursue things and not realizing we're pursuing things, we can even make things into idols. We can make a person into an idol. And it's devastating when those things no longer make us happy. We must take time to reorient ourselves where Jesus is the center. He's the center of our joy. He's the center of our life. He is our source. He is the one that we tap into every day. He's our daily bread. And we need Him. We need Him. The Bible speaks, and this is God's desire for you, to have the fullness of joy. God's desire for you is to have the fullness of joy. Romans 15:13 says it like this. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I'm going to read that one more time. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes by the Holy Spirit. It comes by God in us. He's deposited in us the Holy Spirit, and we're to have a relationship with Him, right? It's not a one and done. Okay, God got that salvation thing taken care of. Okay, I'm going to go live my life. All right, that's disconnecting from God, and there won't be much joy in that kind of living. The Scripture says all joy, which means every joy, whole joy, fullness of joy. It's yours, it's mine, it's available to us. Fullness of joy, overflowing, abounding in us, and affecting others around us. Because the joy of the Lord in us is our strength. You know that? That's what Malachi 8 talks about. It says, when Malachi speaks to us, people, don't mourn today. Today is a day of rejoicing. As they were reconnecting in covenant with God, God was bringing their covenant back into order for the people of God. He says, today's a day of rejoicing. Don't mourn, don't grieve, rejoice. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is. So we can go through hard times, we can go through difficult times, and we still can have joy. I know we don't always feel like dancing, we don't always feel like singing, and that's right, because there's times of sadness, there's times of grief, there's times of pain. But you don't have to stay in that. Because there is the Lord. We can turn to Him. We can know Him. It's amazing. It's amazing how you can wake up feeling awful physically. You can wake up feeling awful even on the inside of you, like what happened? Those were some bad dreams I had last night. Those were, you know, we don't even know why. Sometimes we feel bad. We don't even know why. But if we will come into His presence, if we will enter His gates, if we will begin to, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to begin to rejoice. I'm going to begin to worship. And I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start praying in the Spirit. I'm going to seek Him because I need to connect to Him because I'm feeling I need Him. It's amazing how you can start praying and worshiping, and 30 minutes later, an hour later, you can actually want to dance. You can actually desire to sing loudly and shout. It's amazing at what takes place on the inside because we're connecting with our source, with Him. If you need to repent today, please do. And repentance is simply meaning I'm turning from the wrong way and I'm choosing His way. I'm choosing His way. And His way is seeking Him. Seek Him and find Him. If you've lost Him or you kind of don't know where He is right now, seek Him and find Him and connect with Him and be filled with the joy of the Lord. And let it resound and let it fill you up and share it with others. Because others need to know this joy, that they can have it too. And it's not based on how good your day was, how awesome your week was, that bonus that's coming to you, that favor that's coming to you, that somebody's the gift or whatever it is. It's just because God is good, He's on His throne, and I have the fullness of joy in Him. Cultivate it, church. Cultivate it. Like a garden, cultivate it. Tend the soil. Tend the soil of your heart. Let it be rich with the goodness of God. Let it be rich with love for God. Surrender to Him. Yield your heart to Him. May we invite the Lord into our hearts to really make us abundant and fruitful and blessed and full of Him. You'll have joy. Yes, you will. You will have joy. It is good. It's a fruit of the Spirit. He says, I want you to have it. Every Christian, every believer should have joy. Choose joy. Choose it, church. Choose it. Because it's a blessing. It's your blessing. Walk in your blessings. Amen.